Kip emerged from hyperspace at the edges of the transitory mists. His controls immediately began to flash warnings. The programmed hyperspace jump had brought him directly between two flanks of Yuuzhan Vong's ships. Immediately, all the lights began to converge on his location. Soon they'd be in visual range, and they would know that he was flying the stolen Yuuzhan Vong frigate. "Planned this a bit tight, didn't you, Jaina?" he murmured. A sharp jolt hit Kip's fighter, and sensors flared out a low-shield warning signal. One of the ships was using its dove and basal to strip off his shields. Kip boosted up the inertial compensator, expanding the protection the system gave to ship and pilot several meters, and moving it out beyond the ship's normal shields, the trick invented by a fellow Jedi. Even as he did, he realized that this was no solution. Gavin had not been flying alone. Two coral skippers pulled up beside the freighter analog, and again Kip felt the tug and pull of the gravity beams. He dialed down the inertial compensator. Too much stress, and it could pull the ship apart from the inside. A second X-Wing exploded out of the darkness of space. A blue flash burst from it. The big ship dissolved in a bright flare. The coral skippers released their hold on Kip's fighter and circled around to deal with this new threat.
"Get out of there, Kip,"
warned Jaina. "And leave you alone? I don't think so."
"Turn off the gravitic transmitter. Lower left console, yellow dial. Find a ship about the trickster's size. Strafe it. I'll be right behind you."
A faint smile curved Kip's lips. He glanced at the screen and selected a target, then relayed its coordinates to Jaina. The two X-Wings swept toward the frigate analog. Kip leaned on the slinter shot trigger. Hundreds of underpowered bolts sprayed the coral ship. A small black hole swallowed most of them, but many of the small lasers found a mark. So, too, did some of the small concussion missiles Jaina fired.
"The seed's been planted,"
Jaina said.
"Let's go."
Kip turned his X-Wing into a rolling turn and then shot off toward the mists. The stars stretched into lines, echoing the smile that spread over his face. The seed had been planted, all right. Khalil La removed the hood and nodded to his secondary pilot. He turned to Harar and brought himself up at sharp military attention.
"Eminence, the Kastar has been secured."
The priest rose and followed the warrior to the large bay that filled the entire lower level of the priest ship. Warriors ringed the captured ship.
"Open it,"
the commander ordered. Before anyone could respond, the hatch irised open and a small ramp lowered. The heavy tread of a warrior in crab armor thudded down the ramp.
"What is the meaning of this?"
he thundered. His ire faded into slack astonishment as he found himself face to face with Khalil La. He did not seem to notice that the commander was equally astonished. The warrior pilot fell to one knee, fists thumping his shoulders.
"Command me. My life is yours."
Harar moved forward.
"You will report to the Coral Skipper Bay. A ship will be given you. This one requires the attention of the Shapers."
The pilot rose, saluted again, and strode away. Harar dismissed the warriors with a single curt gesture. The priest turned to Khalil La, suppressing an unholy impulse to gloat.
"This is not the Kastar,"
he said with what he thought to be admirable restraint.
"Perhaps none of the ships we encountered were." "One of them will be,"
the warrior snarled. He snapped his gaze up to Harar's.
"We need more ships. Jaina Solo will be found, and she will be sacrificed. This I swear by the goddess she blasphemes."
Jaina adjusted the cognition hood and picked up the standard comm device Lobaka had installed in the trickster. Get ready, she warned the pilots flying with her. I'm sensing a small fleet coming out of hyperspace. They should be within firing range in about 200 microns.
Too soon,
another pilot retorted. A faint, nervous chuckle wafted through the open comm, dying quickly as the Vong fleet streaked out of the blackness of hyperspace. Coral skippers veered swiftly away, scattering into well-disciplined ranks. Behind them were several larger ships, frigate and corvette analogs, as well as two or three oddly shaped vessels that defied classification. Starlight gleamed off the polished black facets of a large, gem-like ship. Jaina's eyes narrowed. She remembered that ship from Mercury. It had arrived just as she and the other Jedi escaped. This would be the priest's ship. Well, it was in for a few surprises.
Just like in practice, Kip's voice put in.
A flare of plasma scorched the sky, falling short of the Hapen fleet. First phase is yours, Colonel Fell, she said. Jag acknowledged with a double click. The two Chiss claw craft vectored sharply away, and 10 Hapen fighters followed them. They broke up into tight formations of four, each of which singled out a coral skipper for attack. They sent out a coordinated barrage of laser fire, as well as other smaller projectiles that slipped between the Dovin Basal's shielding bursts and embedded deep in the rough coral hull. Your turn, Kip, she prodded. The Jedi rogue took 3 X-Wings and peeled away, leaving Jaina's frigate alone and apparently unprotected. Lobaka moaned anxiously. They watched as the coral skippers advanced, battling their way through Jag's disciplined squadron. Most of them should have the repulsors by now. Get ready, she said slowly. And now! The Wookiee broadcast a signal to the repulsor devices, and suddenly, 2/3 of the attacking coral skippers whirled away, responding to the gravitic messages informing them that Trickster was now behind them. Here's where it gets interesting, Jaina murmured. She ordered the frigate to advance at maximum speed. As they soared into the midst of the Yuuzhan Vong fleet, Lobaka prepared to activate the small repulsor units attached to the skips. Streaks of disabling plasma flared toward Jaina, all of them aimed at the underside of her ship. By now, she understood the Trickster well enough to follow this strategy. Nomanor's ship was heavily armored, with an extremely thick lower hull. Attacks to this section activated the Dovin Basal, allowing other ships to generate gravitic tractor beams to pull Jaina in. But Jaina didn't allow them to distract her Dovin Basal. She wove the frigate through the battle, twisting and dipping in the wildest and most reckless flight of her life, daring the enemy to follow and fire upon her. In the confusion that followed, the Yuuzhan Vong ships relied upon their sensors, which in turn directed their fire to whatever ship was currently broadcasting the Trickster's signal. Not every ship was as well armored as Jaina's. 2 coral skippers went up in bright, brief flames. Suddenly, Lobaka howled in alarm. A glitch? Jaina yelled back. No glitches! You can't broadcast the signal to more than one ship at one time. Even as she spoke, the Wookiee's mistake led to a happy accident. The 3 Yuuzhan Vong skips receiving the signal converged on each other. A simultaneous eruption of plasma exploded from all 3 ships, followed by a secondary explosion that reduced them to a massive spray of coral shards. Glitches can be good, Jaina conceded. As the battle devolved from one level of chaos to another, Harar's growing superstition moved toward terrified belief. The Jedi twin was performing seemingly impossible feats of movement, strategy, and destruction. With one ship, she evaded their best pilots, destroying some of their swiftest ships. She was nowhere and everywhere. All around him, the crew members began to murmur the name Yun Harla in a mixture of awe and dread. The priest could not bring himself to chastise them for this heresy. Kalila strode into the control room, his scarred face grim. How do you wish to proceed, Eminence? The priest considered only for a moment. This decision might end his career, but it was the only reasonable option. Order the retreat. The survivors returned to the Hapen dock, spilling out of their ships with cheers and hoots of laughter, falling into back-thumping embraces. Jaina smiled faintly as she strode down the trickster's ramp. The task she had in mind was far from finished, but they'd made a good start. She was lifted off her feet and spun around in an exuberant circle. Kip set her down, beaming. Jaina felt Jag Fell's approach. Her exuberance dimmed as she turned to face the young colonel. "That was astonishing. If you ever feel in need of a title, you should consider commander. I'd be happy to consider you in that light." "Gee, a girl can't hear that too often," Jaina said dryly. After the ceremony, Tachum called Jaina aside for a private meeting. "You've done extremely well, but the Yuuzhan Vong will be back. It's time that you knew my mind. I want Tenennial Joe off the throne, and Isolder to marry a queen capable of ruling during war." Jaina shrugged. "Unless you want me to help Tenennial Joe pack, I have no idea why you're telling me this." The old queen sent her an arch, sidelong look. "I've often thought of how frustrating it must have been to always labor in the shadow of a famous mother." "A torpedo is launched, but no target is in sight," Jaina observed. "The target is very obvious. This is a common concern for young women in your position." "It's the sort of thing that crosses your mind, sure, but war has a way of making adolescent angst seem petty." "But pettiness does not end with adolescence," Tachum went on. "No doubt you've noticed Tenel Ka's recent hostility toward you." "We've had our differences. There's a lot of that going around among the Jedi." "When did my granddaughter become concerned with philosophy?" "No, Tenel Ka is prompted by a fear of being displaced by someone more worthy." Jaina massaged her temples with both hands, feeling a bit dazed by this surreal conversation. "Someone like my mother, I suppose. Is that what you're preparing me for? If so, I don't follow the logic. Instead of Princess Leia's daughter, I'd be Queen Leia's heir. Not exactly coming out of the shadows, if that's what you're concerned about." The queen smiled like a sabacc player about to place a winning hand on the table. "You misunderstand, my dear. In these brutal times, Hapes needs a warrior queen. Not Tenennial, not Tenel Ka, not Princess Leia. A queen who seeks to understand the enemy and attack boldly." Her meaning hit Jaina like a Yuuzhan Vong thudbug. Unaccountably, she began to giggle. "I could just picture my father's reaction to this idea. We're talking about Han Solo here. I'm surprised your ambassadors didn't have to kill him in self-defense." "This is quite serious," Tachum insisted. With difficulty, Jaina composed her expression. "I can see that. I didn't mean to offend. Really, even the suggestion is an enormous honor. But I'm just not interested."
"Why not?"
"Why not?" she echoed.
"For starters, I'm too young."
"Nonsense. You're 18, about the age your mother was when she set her heart on an older man."
"Speaking of my father, how many days did your ambassadors spend in a Bacta tank?" she said pointedly.
"I'm sure he'll come around to the idea. He is a reasonable man."
"He's never been accused of that before," Jaina retorted.
Tachum sighed. "At least consider it."
Jaina promised she would and went to look for Jag Fell, intending to question him about the fight he'd interrupted. Her initial certainty had faded. She hoped that Han had just been acting predictably, but her danger senses prickled. What if Han did not respond reasonably? What if Tenennial Joe did not step aside? How far would Tachum go to get her way? Since landing on Hapes, Jaina had been convinced that Tachum had a plan in mind for her. She didn't want to believe this of Tachum, despite all she knew and sensed of the older woman. She couldn't find Jag anywhere, though she eventually tracked his ship to an extremely inconspicuous corner of the city docks. Nor could she find anyone who had seen him recently. She considered, briefly, reaching out with the Force to find him. Jason had gone into deep meditation to find Corran Horn after the attack on Yavin 4, but this had never been her strong suit, and even those Jedi gifted with perception had difficulty finding specific people. Unless, of course, they had some deep connection. She decided instead to seek answers in a Jedi trance, and made her way to the quiet of her palace room. As she sank deep into thought and out into the current of the Force, an image began to emerge as if from a dark mist. Jaina saw a small, slim girl in a brown flight suit. The girl's shoulders were hunched in tense anticipation, and she clasped an unfamiliar lightsaber in both hands. Jaina's heart jolted as she recognized herself and understood the context of this vision. And then she was swept deeper, leaving the detachment of the spectator behind as she entered fully into the Force-inspired memory. A tall, black-clad figure strode toward her, his red lightsaber ready for attack. The image of Darth Vader did not inspire the fear her infamous grandfather had earned, but a very different sort of terror. Once again, she relived the moment of horrified realization that she'd fought Jason, cloaked in a holographic disguise and, like her, unaware of his opponent's true identity. But now she knew, and that was 1,000 times worse. "Jason," she whispered. The specter advanced. She rose to her feet, reluctantly, and switched on that blade the Shadow Academy masters had given her. The battle swept over her on dark wings, fierce and fast and desperate. Jaina threw all her skill into parrying the blows and landing none. The nascent skill Jason had possessed from an early age made this a difficult task. In this vision, however, she was not a trained Jedi Knight, but a young girl torn from her home by a group of dark Jedi, forced to fight untrained. Jaina fought not as she now was, but as she had been. In the end, she struck without intending to. The Dark Lord staggered and went down, his gloved hands grasping at the smoking line Jaina's lightsaber had seared across his throat. She dropped her weapon and hurried to her opponent, tugging at his helm, praying that she would see Darth Vader's face beneath, or even her own. The holographic disguise faded away, and Jaina's heart simply shattered. A lanky boy sprawled on the ground, his brown hair tousled and his sightless eyes looking faintly puzzled. Jaina pushed herself to her feet and stumbled back. She hadn't killed her brother. Her own disguise did not fade away, so she wrenched off the helmet. The visor opened of its own accord. Startled, she dropped the helmet and watched it roll slowly toward Jason. It stopped, and Kip Duran's face gazed out at her. His lips moved, but she could not hear his words. Jaina awakened from the vision with a start, breathing as hard as if she'd just run a 20-kilometer sprint with Tenel Ka. Slowly, she became aware of an urgent voice and turned dazedly to face it. She recoiled at the sight of Kip Duran's concerned face. "You brought me out of the trance," she repeated. "Why?" He rocked back on his heels and placed a hand on her shoulder. "Maybe I have some sense of what you were going through." She shook him off, but she couldn't dismiss the vision or its obvious symbolism. And there was something compelling in Kip's watchful green eyes that, for once, had nothing to do with the Force. "I never had the problems that Jason and Anakin had with the Force," she said slowly. "They debated its true nature and struggled to understand what it means to be a Jedi. I just did what needed to be done. Up to now, that has always been enough. Now I'm being forced to question and to choose." She told Kip about Tachum's offer. "I'm not considering it, but it made me think. The Queen Mother operates behind a line I'm not willing to cross."
"Which begs the question of what your parameters are."
"Exactly. And I realized that I've unwittingly crossed a number of lines without paying attention."
"I've crossed a few myself," Kip agreed. It's hard not to. The vaping things keep moving. She smiled faintly.
This is a decision point. I can back out now, or I can move forward and push this offensive as far as it will take me.
Kip studied her. You're going to continue, whatever it costs you.
I don't see any other way, she said with a helpless shrug.
The way she saw it, a Jedi would willingly sacrifice her life in service against evil. Faced with the Vong threat, how could she turn away from this darker, greater sacrifice? To Jaina's surprise, she was hit by a brief, vivid vision, an image of a tiny Jag imprisoned in the tangle of an X-Wing's circuitry. The mental picture faded as quickly as it came, leaving Jaina with a startling realization. She could feel Jag's presence through the Force at the outer edges of the lower levels of the palace. That should have been impossible, given her particular talents. She couldn't even connect to her own twin brother. She had to feel Jason's death through the collective pain of several Jedi. Whereas Tenel Ka... Realization slammed into her. She could sense Jag Fell's presence for the same reason that Tenel Ka had been so open to Jason. The connection had grown unobserved. Or perhaps it had always been there. Kip took Jaina by both shoulders. What now? He demanded, giving her a little shake. Without responding, she pulled away and raced off in the direction her vision had indicated. Jaina and Kip found Jag exactly where Jaina envisioned him, in a small room hidden deep in the labyrinthine maze below the palace. Kip felt her bright anticipation, the excitement that came with her sudden realization. Without realizing it, she was expecting Jag to experience a similar moment of epiphany. That dream shattered the moment Jag Fell looked up at his rescuers. He glanced at Jaina, and a shuttered, disinterested expression fell over his face. Kip felt the young woman's surge of pain, and her conviction that Jag Fell might admire her courage and talent, but he regarded her as a scruffy and undisciplined rogue. The Jedi princess quickly swallowed her shock and reached into her pocket for a small multi-tool. With a few deft flicks, she picked the complicated locks, a skill she had no doubt learned from her scoundrel father. The sound of footsteps echoed through the halls. Kip and Jaina glanced at each other, then looked to the ceiling. A tangle of pipes crossed it, some 15 feet overhead. They both leaped, catching hold of the pipes and waiting. Jag had the presence of mind to push the door shut. One of the locks clicked, and he settled down. His guards took several moments to figure out the locks. When they entered, grumbling, the two Jedi dropped from their perch. Jaina stepped over a downed guard and into the corridor. "How did you get yourself down here?" she demanded. Jag sent her a quick glance. "After the battle, I was warned that I was endangering myself by putting hands on Hapes's future queen. My presence here seems to bear that out." Jaina slapped her forehead. "Your Chiss friend must have overheard some of Tachum's people talking about it." "That's right. Congratulations, Lieutenant. Or would Your Majesty be more appropriate?" "These days she prefers trickster," Kip offered. "What's a queen next to a Yuuzhan Vong goddess?" Jaina shot a quick glare in Kip's direction. "Don't help me. This queen business is ridiculous. It wasn't my idea." "The queen's retainers were of the impression that you were another Tachum, an ambitious woman who would gladly seize this opportunity. They also spoke of eliminating obstacles, a job they were hired to do." Jaina stopped and seized his arm. "Does this have anything to do with my father?" "After this conversation," Jag went on, "I sought out Han's assailants, ambassadors who went to negotiate a marriage alliance between Prince Isolder and Leia. I feel certain that General Solo was not attacked so much as subdued."
"I know all this," Jaina interrupted, "but I don't understand why you were detained."
His lips firmed into a grim line.
"I was stopped on my way to find and warn Tenel Ka. Logically speaking, what would this obstacle be but Queen Mother Tenennial Jo?"
"Tenennial Jo," Jaina repeated, staring at Jag Fell's grim face. Though she was stunned by his conclusion, she could not refute it. They raced through the halls and into the royal apartments. Guards moved to stop them.
Force lightning caught them and threw them aside. They found Tenel Ka in her mother's room, sitting beside the window. She held her mother's hand in both of hers. Jaina knew at a glance that they all had been too late.
Poison, murmured Tenel Ka. They did not even give her the dignity of a final battle.
Jaina placed a hand on her friend's shoulder.
We'll find whoever did this.
The Jedi lifted burning eyes to Jaina's face.
I will not have my mother's life dishonored by your vengeance.
She fell back a step.
Is that what you think this is about? Do you think I'm dishonoring Anakin? Jason?
An alarm sounded, rising in pitch and volume as it sang out the invasion alert. Tenel Ka gently released her mother's hand and stood. She held out one hand, fingers spread to display the large emerald ring. Then she abruptly clenched her fist, and a hologram leaped into the air between them. A nebulous swirl of darkness and mists filled the air. The mists parted to reveal a large starship and the smaller vessels spilling from it.
Hapes's fleet and my mother's legacy, Tenel Ka said curtly. Colonel Jagfell, I place these ships under your command.
Suddenly, Jaina understood. For all of Tachum's machinations, it was not Jaina she wanted on the throne. Surely she understood Tenel Ka's sense of duty and the likelihood that she would take her mother's crown. If she proved intractable, then no doubt Jaina would have met the same fate. Sooner or later, Tenel Ka would have had little choice. She would not stand and see others die in her place. Tenel Ka turned to face Jaina.
There are times when personal inclinations must be put aside. I will take up my mother's crown, and I will defend it if I must. But for now, we have a common foe.
The Jedi women regarded each other for a long, silent moment.
Let's go, Jaina said.
She and Tenel Ka ran toward the battle. As they passed, Jaina noted a familiar group of pilots at the back of the room. She nodded to Jag.
See you up there, Colonel.
The Chiss pilot set off for the docking bay at a run, and Kip fell into place beside him. Impulse struck, and Kip acted on it at once. Jaina never intended to marry the prince. Jag looked politely interested.
I see. He is not a Jedi.
True, but that's not the issue, Kip said. I'm guessing that the only man Jaina would ever take seriously is one who can outfly her.
There are not many who fit that description, Jag observed neutrally.
Yeah, I've noticed that, Kip responded in kind. They skidded to a stop beside their docked ships. Jag extended his hand to Kip.
Watch her back, the Chiss commander said softly, and then he swung up into his claw craft.
Kip took his promise very seriously. He stormed over to the Vong frigate and raced up the deck.
Whatever you're planning, forget it, he said bluntly.
Jaina pulled off the hood and stared at him.
I get the feeling you're about to toss your life away, sacrificing it as Anakin did. Not long ago, you told me that Anakin might have had the answers. We can't let them just disappear into mist.
Don't put that on me, Jaina said slowly. You really think that I'm on a journey to discover what the Jedi should be?
It makes sense, Kip said. You've got the talent, the heritage. Maybe there's something to all this talk of destiny.
Jaina tugged on the cognition hood.
Get out. Not until you tell me what you've got in mind.
She rose suddenly in a fluid blur, one hand thrown toward the older Jedi. Dark lightning crackled from her fingers and surrounded him in a shining nimbus. He flew back and struck the wall hard. His eyes narrowed and the deadly aura disappeared.
Jaina's eyes widened in surprise.
If I can summon it, I can dispel it, he told her. You're not the only one who took that path.
Jaina drew her lightsaber.
Outside, she snarled. Kip gave her a mockingly courtly bow and motioned for her to go first. She shook her head. He shrugged and walked down the ramp, Jaina close behind him. As his feet touched the dock, she leaped into a backward flip and landed in the doorway. She shut off her lightsaber and took a step back. The living portal slammed shut behind her.
Stang,
muttered Kip, as he watched the alien ship rise swiftly into the air. Jaina glanced at the two Villips resting on the trickster's console. She reached for the Villip that she had painstakingly attuned, one of the small Villips Lobaka had found growing in a hydroponic tank, and stroked it to life. After a moment, the scarred face of War Master Tsavong La appeared. He recoiled in astonishment at the face his Villip revealed.
"Greetings, War Master," Jaina said in mocking tones. "Remember me? Jason Solo's twin sister?"
"You will be sacrificed to the gods," the War Master gritted out. "And then I will tear out your heart with my own hands."
"If you still have your own hands, you're probably not as far up the ladder as you wanted us to think. Put someone else on. Someone with real authority and a few more replacement parts." Tsavong La growled in fury.
"With those words, you have earned yourself much pain."
"I take it the Vong don't get promoted for their conversational skills," she said. "Let's see if the priest's commander can do better." She awakened the second Philip, which formed a link between this ship and the priest's Yamask. When a second scarred face came into view, Jaina brushed back her bangs to reveal the mark she'd drawn there, the symbol of Yun Harla. Two voices lifted in outraged howls.
"I will bring you in, human,"
snarled the younger warrior.
"This I swear, by all the gods, by my clan and my sacred honor."
Jaina passed a hand over the Villips. Both reverted at once. A Yuuzhan Vong fighter streamed toward her, and all others moved aside to let it pass. Jaina reached for the energy that she had found within, that which hurled the dark lightning. She allowed it to flood her and direct her battle. She sank deeper into the consciousness of the alien ship, losing herself in flight as she had always done. For what seemed like hours, she and her challenger darted and spun, trading bolts of plasma, dodging and blocking like swordmasters. Jaina did not think. She acted. For a while, this seemed to be an effective strategy, but her identification with the living ship was too powerful. A plasma bolt slipped back the Dubin basal shields and scorched along the side of the ship. Jaina jolted, screaming, as an unexpected searing pain raced down her left arm. She was surprised to see no physical damage there. Barely conscious, she began to slide completely into the darkness. Again, she fell back in time, into the terrifying duel at the Shadow Academy. Again, she fought Darth Vader, but this time, she could not prevail. Her opponent stepped back and ripped off the black helmet, revealing Kip Duran's face. Light seemed to fill him as they continued to fight, pushing aside the remnants of his dark disguise, and then, tentatively, reaching out to her. Jaina felt the mingled joy and pain of Kip's long, slow redemption, the isolation of his long years of restitution. She felt his regret for selfishly endangering the one person who could become all that he himself would never achieve. And with absolute certainty, she knew that Kip was wrong. She was not the one. The path to a different understanding of the Force was not her journey to take. Another truth came to her, and she could no longer deny the nature of the path she had taken. It seemed strange, ironic, that Kip Duran would be the one to try to save her. An answer came to her, along with the image of Kip's wry smile. "Did you ever think that you might be the one who's saving me? Come on back. We'll figure this out together." Slowly, she began to battle her way back toward the light. Kip faded away, and her opponent took on Khalil La's face and form. Jaina fought fiercely, but every blow she landed took a toll on her own body. Gradually, she became aware of an array of lights taking focus before her. An insistent voice droned through her calm, dragging her into awareness.
The ship's console blinked frantically as luminous creatures warned of massive system failure.
Jaina, fall back. I've got you. I've got you.
The voice and the power it held jolted her back to consciousness. Jaina's hands were still on the controls, still firing the weapon. Her connection with the ship remained. After a startled moment, she realized that Kif had been talking to her through the comm system Lobaka installed. Or perhaps he had been speaking through her vision. Jaina glanced at the warrior's ship, which was circling around for another attack. The trickster jolted as her opponent's Dubin Basil got a lock on her ship. An X-Wing streaked between them, sending a steady barrage at the Yuuzhan Vong fighter and directly into the gravitic pull. Suddenly freed, Jaina swept around to back up her rescuer. But the X-Wing had taken a hit. It spiraled off, a comet followed by a tail of burning fuel. The ship exploded in a sharp white flare. She reached out and felt the familiar presence. Kif had gone EV away in time. She wheeled around, leaving her vengeance unfinished, her questions unanswered. She set course for her Jedi Master and the shared path before them. The night skies over Hades' royal city still bled and strobed as Jaina set the trickster down on the docks. She looked up, feeling no regret at being forced out of the battle before its conclusion. This was not her fight, her path. Tenennial Joe's legacy had arrived, and under the command of Jag Fell, it was swiftly pushing back the Yuuzhan Vong. Jaina had seen that much as she maneuvered the wounded Jedi Master aboard her ship. She saw Kip safely off the ship and arranged for medical treatment. Then she turned to face what she had become. Tachum was in the palace, under house arrest, pending investigation into Tenennial Joe's death. She rose quickly as Jaina entered the room, and her eyes swept the girl's flight suit. The battle? We're winning.
You should be commanding it.
Jaina shrugged. Colonel Fell is doing just fine. Queen Mother Tenelka knows how to pick people. You made a good choice there. Tachum received this news and its implications in silence.
With my help, you could have been a great queen.
Jaina sniffed and folded her arms. I can't tell you how much that means to me.
What about your vows of vengeance?
I'm not adding you to the list, if that's your concern. It's over, she stated. All of it. I know what I am. A fighter, the sister and the daughter of heroes. Something changed in the former queen's face.
I am seldom mistaken, but now I see that you are a fool, like your mother before you.
She continued in this vein and was ranting still when Jaina left the palace. Tenelka awaited her outside the secured rooms.
They say that anger is of the dark side, she said somberly. They, of course, have never met Tachum.
Jaina smiled faintly, and then noticed the tentative humor in her friend's eyes. On impulse, she folded her friend in an embrace. Tenelka's strong arm came up to encircle her.
It won't be easy, the new queen said. Not for me, not for you. I suspect that your road may be more than mine. At least you will not be alone.
She pulled away.
Neither will you.
Tenelka's only response was a faint smile. She lifted her hand, a somber, regal gesture, and then walked away. Her bearing was proud and her step quick. Her determination came through the Force, and with it, a sense of desolation so intense that it brought tears to Jaina's eyes. Jaina swiftly pulled her emotions back under control. It was this very thing, her empathy for her friends and brothers, that had gotten her into trouble in the first place. The way she saw it, she had a long road back from what she'd become, and she couldn't afford any detours. As she strode back to her ship, she considered the road ahead. She'd have to face all the friends who had warned her, the family who had worried.
At every turn, people would question her. She would have to make people believe that the dark side had no part of her actions, her decisions. The most difficult person to convince, she suspected, would be herself. Kip Duran was already at the docks, loading supplies into a Hapen light freighter. A bacta patch covered his forehead. "Never thought you'd get here," he said. "It's almost time to go."
"Go?"
echoed Jaina. "We're taking some supplies to the Jedi base. Your mother asked me to bring you." A pang touched Jaina's heart as she thought of what news of her slide would do to Leia.
"Mom already lost two of her kids."
"I'll get you back." She turned her eyes to Kip's somber green gaze.
"You already have."
After a moment, he tossed her a box of rations. She tucked it into the hold and turned for another. They worked together, falling into an easy rhythm. Soon, the ship was loaded, and the Jedi Master and his apprentice strapped into their seats.
"So, what's next?"
she asked as they settled down. "What do you want to do?" Jaina considered this. She had always been confident in herself, impulsive, even cocky. That was tempered now by deep humility in the power of the Force.
"I'll keep flying, of course, but I'm not sure the rogues will have me."
"Then why not continue the path you've started? There's a place for a trickster in the Resistance. You're quick with a plan, you have a knack for strategy." She tried the idea on, and the fit felt about right.
"Not bad," she admitted.
"And you?" Kip gave her a slightly sheepish smile. "I'm going to work toward the establishment of a Jedi Council, to building consensus instead of discord." She burst out laughing.
"I've seen my mother struggle with such things. Trust me, this might prove to be your biggest challenge yet."
He shrugged. "Neither of us needs things to be easy. And on that note, I hear that Jag Fell has arranged a meeting with your Uncle Luke. If there's a Jedi offensive on the horizon, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's at the heart of it." A quick, glad surge lifted Jaina's heart. Wistfully, she wondered if someday she could merit the friendship of someone like Jag, someone whose gaze, like Leia's, never seemed to swerve from a hero's path. If Kip picked up on Jaina's thoughts, he was tactful enough not to let on. "You ready?" She responded with a firm nod, and then turned her eyes to the challenges ahead. Kalila strode into Harar's chamber and dropped to one knee.
"The battle was a failure," he said bluntly. "The Jedi escaped. It would seem that I was infected with the heresy, or the gods would have allowed me to die in glorious battle. My failure can only serve to tarnish my family name, the name of the War Master, whom you name friend."
The priest absorbed this in silence. This request went far past hinting. In response, he reached for the mechanical abomination and handed it to the warrior.
"I will report to Savang La that his kinsman died in battle through the trickery of the Jedi, sacrificed by his own men. Put this upon your ship, and it will be so."
Kalila bowed his head and accepted the device. He rose and strode from the room. Left alone, Harar took his villip and reported to Savang La what he had promised to say.
"Jaina Solo proved to be a far more worthy foe than anticipated," he concluded. "And it may be some time before the twin sacrifice can go forward."
"The gods willed it so," Savang La said. "Continue pursuit, and we will speak of this matter again."
The villip reverted abruptly, leaving Harar deep in speculation. His failure was not dealt with as harshly as he expected, and the priest of deception wondered if perhaps he was not the only one who had failed. Was it possible, he wondered, that Jason Solo might not have survived after all? This is Alexander Adams.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Dark Journey, by Elaine Cunningham. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Charles Potter. Abridgment by David Smith. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Dark Journey, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2002. All rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2002, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House Audiobooks presentation. All rights reserved.